Proverbs chapter 19, we took a look at a portion of 18 when we were there last time. Tonight, 19, really just a couple of verses, but it's really the whole chapter. We could run our fingers back and forth over a number of verses and see this title of the sermon tonight, Some Marks of Good Sense, but we'll focus our attention on two verses and go there. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. We'll read through verse 11 and then look at verses 8 and 11 particularly. Better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Desire without knowledge is not good. And whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord. Wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. Many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. All a poor man's brothers hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but does not have them. Whoever gets sense loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will discover good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish. It's not fitting for a fool to live in luxury, much less for a slave to rule over princes. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. The Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word for us here tonight, that we might leave wiser according to God's wisdom, and we might leave loving the one who gives wisdom, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we ask now that you bless your word for us tonight. There's much here, and we don't have but just a few moments. Help us to hear your voice as you speak to us. This we ask in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, I was just thinking as we were reading the Colossians passage, it's really about verse 17. We looked at it not long ago. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord. But you hopefully noticed tucked away in there a verse that I hope caught your attention. Maybe even you went back and read over it while Pastor John was reading on verses 12 through 17, but it's there at the end of verse 11. But Christ is all and in all. But Christ is all. We've been talking about wisdom for a while in the book of Proverbs, but where does wisdom originate? Well, Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians 1:30. That the Father gave us Christ, and Christ is our wisdom. He's not just our justification and sanctification and redemption, but it begins there, Paul says, he's our wisdom. So if one wishes to be wise, then he has to have Christ. And you realize the man's not wise if a man doesn't recognize that Christ is all. He's everything. If you don't start with Christ, you're not going to aspire to Christ. You're not going to end in Christ. These marks of good sense that are over here in Proverbs are predicated upon that very fact, and that is that Jesus Christ is everything. You start there, or you don't possess any good marks of good sense. Doesn't matter how smart you are, how many degrees you may attain to. Without Christ, it's nothing. Christ is all. God gave us common sense, and he gave everyone common sense. We used to talk about it a lot. Some people now make jokes about it. Well, if it's so common, why is there not more of it going around? Well, that's not God's problem, and it's not man. We have common sense. That's part of being made in the imago Dei, in the image of God. He bestowed upon us, as part of being made in his image, common sense. Paul talks about this in chapter 1. Everyone sees that. Everyone knows. You say, then why don't they acknowledge that God is God and that his attributes are displayed in all of creation? Well, Paul tells us the answer to that too. They suppress the truth. They try to push it, as we say. They try to sweep it under the rug. It's still there. It doesn't matter. The dust is still there, right? You know, you've seen probably the sitcoms. Maybe you've lived this sitcom. Doorbell rings, somebody's at the door you weren't expecting, or you should have been expecting, but you forgot. And all of a sudden, things that are out on the table start being shoved under cushions in the sofa and under the sofa and slammed into closets. Still there, right? You've just suppressed the truth. You keep a cluttered house. They may not know it, but it's still cluttered. Just open the door to the closet. Just peek under the sofa. Well, all of creation shouts out, Paul says. The psalmist said all of creation declares the glory of God, and people tuck it under the rug. They close it up in a closet, and they just act like it's not really true. God gave us common sense, and it's there, and we're without excuse. We know that there's a God. Every man, every boy, every girl, every woman is endowed with this kind of sense. However, Christians ought to aspire to something more than common sense. And that's what the writer of the Proverbs is talking about here in verses 8 and 11. But as I said, in the whole chapter, whoever gets sense loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will discover good. Verse 11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it's his glory to overlook an offense. Good sense. So common sense is common to everyone, but good sense is something you have to get, we read here. It's not something that you're just born with. It's not something you can develop. It's something you have to get. You have to obtain it. So that's what we want to look at tonight. It's reserved for Christians. It's reserved those who have experienced the new birth. And every Christian ought to want it. That should be our desire. That should be the heartthrob of a Christian, is to get this good sense, to get this sense that we're told. Whoever gets it loves his own soul. So the first thing I want you to see is very simple. Good sense is a desire of every Christian. It's a desire. It's something we want. We don't want to live without it. Just as every Christian pursues holiness, every true Christian pursues holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord, the Bible says. Really? What if I don't want hope? What if I like sin? What if I just like being an every once in a while Christian? What if I like just going to worship occasionally when it kind of suits my lifestyle? There are churches, that are made for your lifestyle. We have several not far from here. One of their little mottos is, we fit your lifestyle. Well, gee, I'm kind of strange. I thought the Bible said God changes our lifestyle. I didn't know we were supposed to just be okay and find a church that just lets us live the way we want to. Well, you all know that I happen to know what God says. Well, just as we're supposed to pursue holiness, we're supposed to pursue righteousness, we're also, based on this, it would seem we ought to also pursue good sense. We shouldn't be satisfied with just common sense. We should want more than that. We should want in addition to that. We should want this good sense. Whoever gets good sense, notice this. Why should we want it? Well, it tells us here, whoever gets sense loves his own soul. Now, who wouldn't want something that's good for your own soul? Now, the suggestion here, what's more than suggestion, what's clear here is that if you don't want good sense, if you don't want what God's offering in His Word, you don't love yourself. Oh, you pander to yourself, you indulge yourself, but you don't love yourself. If you love yourself, you get sense. And it's, you say, well, why do you keep calling it good sense? Well, that's what he calls it down in verse 11. Good sense makes one slow to anger. We should want good sense. We should strive after good sense. Well, what is this good sense? Well, it's translated actually by some English translators as wisdom. Whoever gets wisdom loves his own soul. Good wisdom makes one slow to anger. But when we think wisdom, and when we've been talking about wisdom, we're talking more about the application of what God teaches us, right? That's what the book of Proverbs is largely about, is having that ability, that God-given ability to His blood-bought people to apply the good news and apply all the good facts that the Bible contains to our day-to-day situation. But here, it's talking more about our inner man, not just about the application of details, application of God's knowledge. It's talking about our inner man. It's talking about our mind. It's talking about our will. It's talking about our heart. We should want good sense, something, a desire that's good for who we are. Seems like any time I turn on the TV on one of the local stations, and that's what we get. We don't have cable or dish or anything, and there's a commercial that runs on several of those, and it's by one of Knoxville's favorites, apparently, Dr. Bob Overholt, the allergist, and he's in this one commercial, he's beating the drum for the local walkways and greenways and running paths and bicycling paths. And he always ends that commercial or those commercials this way: get out and walk. I won't try to make his face because it's ugly. It's good for you. Get out and walk. It's good for you. Christians, you need to get sense. It's good for you. It's good for your mind. It's good for your soul. It's good for your heart. It's good for everything, as we're going to see. Get out and walk. It's good for you, yes. But get in God's Word and get good sense. It's better for you. Where do we find it? Well, we've been seeing this since chapter 1. We find it in the Bible. Because if you don't look in the Bible, all you can do, at best, is guess. You're not going to find good sense guessing. You'll find good sense in God's good word, the Bible. Good sense is good for the soul. And that's exactly why it is good for the soul, is because it's in God's word. So we get this good sense, we go to God's word, and we get this good stuff, this wisdom that's more than just head knowledge, it's more than just application of God's knowledge. It's something that touches our mind, it's something that touches our will, it's something that touches every aspect of us. And here he begins right off saying, whoever gets this loves his own soul. Whoever gets sense loves his own soul. And again, I would stress to you, if you don't find yourself every day wanting to get sense, wanting to get good sense, therefore wanting to go to the source for it, the Bible, then you got to believe you don't love your soul. You got to believe you're not a believer. You have to believe that. You cannot believe that you don't want what God says is good for your soul and you're still a Christian. Now, if that were applied in any other realm of life, you'd say, that's idiotic, that's crazy. You couldn't say, I want to get a good job, and you sit at home on the sofa all day. Nobody would believe you, would they? They wouldn't believe you really want a good job. I want to get more money. But I want to take off every time I'm sick or sniffly. And I don't want to work all the time. I just want to work part-time. And well, nobody would believe you really want to make more money if you just want to work part-time. Folks, listen, there's not a reason in this world for anyone to believe you're a Christian if you don't want to get sense. Whoever gets sense loves his own soul. The soul, it pertains here to the inner man, the nephesh, the soul. You get sense according to God's word, and you treat your soul well with God's word as you apply it. So here's where wisdom comes to doing something with this good sense. So you've got this good sense, you know what's right and good for your soul, and then you, with wisdom of God, apply it to your soul. You'll flourish then. As one commentator says, really here, soul is pertaining to the passions and the spiritual appetite of man. The passions and spiritual appetite. So you can ask yourself this question, though, if you love your soul or not, whether you want good sense or not, and whether you're obtaining good sense or not. What are the passions of my life? What do I really love? What drives me? What do I want out of life? Spiritual appetite. Do I hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do I strive after holiness? Do I love God's word? Can I say with the psalmist that it's like honey? It's like honey to my lips. Those are good diagnostic questions. Anything that sets the course of your passions and your spiritual appetite must be good for you. I hope you agree with that. So let me ask you a question. Don't you want the proper passions in life? And don't you want an appetite for the things of the Lord? And I hope everyone in this room can say, yes, I want proper passions. I want a spiritual appetite for the Lord. I don't want to be your average. Listen, folks, the Lord in heaven would say amen to this. If everyone who checks a box and gets on that doggone survey list for these statisticians, if everyone who said they're born again and a Christian were born again and a Christian, this nation would be a holy place where we wouldn't see babies slaughtered and we wouldn't see homosexuals marrying in public and gloating over it. We're talking about more than half the population of the U.S. still claims some sort of born-again Christianity. Well, if that were true, this whole nation would be on a scale like Geneva was during the time of Calvin and the Reformation. That was a holy city. But we're not a holy nation. So you know all those people aren't really born again. So you know they don't really desire God. They don't have spiritual appetite for His Word. They don't have holy passions for His things. Good sense is good for the soul, and it gives us these holy passions, and it gives us the spiritual appetite. So get God's wisdom for your inner life if you want to live life to the fullest and to the best. And again, where is that in the Bible? And how do you get the Bible into your very heart that will work that kind of life in you? The Holy Spirit. Jesus said this in John 16. I'll send the Spirit, and He will guide you into all truth. And then Paul said in Galatians 5, a passage many of us have memorized, and just put your eyes on it. If you flip there real quickly, chapter 5, verse 22, what's the fruit of the Spirit? It's love, it's joy, it's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's what we're talking about here. That's good sense. Love, joy. Peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, all those, that's good sense. And it's Spirit wrought through the Word. Well, I want to just go sit in the park and look at the sky, and maybe the Holy Spirit will take the things in the sky, like the gulls and birds and other creatures and walking all around me, and maybe He'll give me good sense that way. Nope, ain't going to happen. That's the lazy man's approach, not the Christian's approach. It doesn't produce the same effect. Good sense is good for the soul. And then notice, whoever gets good sense loves his own soul. And then what follows here? He who keeps understanding will discover good. So this just flows. This good sense shows love for the soul, and it also produces a maintenance of understanding. Good sense maintains understanding. This thing we're to desire, good sense, godly wisdom, is necessary for helpful maintenance of our understanding, as well as our passions and our spiritual appetite. If you want an understanding that matches God's understanding so that you can think God's thoughts after Him, you can see things and understand the way you're supposed to understand them. You see sin and you know what sin is. You see unbelief, you know what unbelief is. You understand it. You know what it's going to produce. Good sense produces that. Good sense is good for the soul because it keeps and maintains right understanding of things in this world. And this leads us to good things. You see it right there in verse 8. He who keeps understanding will discover good. Now, if you let your understanding go without proper attention, you're going to let all sorts of other people's ideas float into the way you think about things. You have to maintain understanding. Earlier in the Proverbs, we learned that we're supposed to keep or maintain our hearts. Here it's keep or maintain your understanding. The way you think about things. It's easy, isn't it? We're bombarded from every direction. Are we not? All sorts of conflicting ethics are out there. In classrooms, on television, on the internet, conflicting morals and ethics. And all of a sudden, we can begin thinking thoughts that aren't good sense. They're not God's thoughts. And then we start making judgments based on those conflicting ideas and thoughts. And before long, you're marrying the wrong person. Before long, you're not sure that a woman marrying a woman is a bad thing. A man marrying a man is a bad thing. Not sure. But you know, they're finding out so many things. Because you let your understanding be shaped by a world that lacks good sense. Well, I think it's okay just to let our children decide what they'll believe. Well, ultimately, God's going to decide. You might as well punt on that one, because God's going to be the decisive factor. But that doesn't mean that you as parents capitulate, that you just let them grow up any old way. You're the one that God's placed in that leadership, headship, authority position to teach them. And if you keep that understanding, you maintain proper understanding of how you're supposed to train and nurture your children, it can be a wonderful thing. But if you just turn loose and follow the rage of the age, it was, well, I'm just going to let my children grow up. I love them being independent thinkers. None of us are independent thinkers. None of us should aspire to be independent thinkers. That's like a parent saying the first time the child throws a temper tantrum, oh, I love it. They're learning their independence. We're dependent people. God made us to be dependent people. God loves us being dependent people. Independence is what caused the problem in the first place. We have to be careful who shapes our understanding. And here it says, whoever gets sense loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will discover good. You'll discover the good things. The good sense understands that God's ways are the best ways, not the ways of this world. Good sense tempers the emotions. It's not just about understanding, but verse 11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger. It tempers the emotions. I've heard it said many times. You probably have too. Somebody will burst out in a fit of anger or say something that's just not very intelligent, and somebody will reply, that man lacks good sense. You ever heard that? I've heard that all my life. That man lacks good sense. That's a good way to put it. Someone who doesn't control their anger, someone who doesn't control their emotions, someone who lets their emotions run their lives. Well, I just feel like, who cares how you feel? What do you think? And does your thinking correspond to God's word? That's all that matters in this life and the life to come. Does your thinking correspond to God's word, and do your emotions follow your right thinking? Do you have good sense? That's what this passage is saying. If you have good sense, you'll be slow to anger. You won't be caught in bursts of anger, fits of rage. Rather than anger, rather than cynicism, rather than wrath, the Christian is going to be marked by things like love and joy and patience and kindness and peace. Right? Not fits of anger. Not cynicism. Rather than being impulsive, we're to be thoughtful. If we become angry over something, it should be through patient deliberation. Now notice what this doesn't say. This doesn't say good sense keeps one from ever being angry. It doesn't say that. It says it makes one slow to anger. There is a righteous anger. God says so. Remember in Ephesians 4, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. It's what we call righteous indignation or righteous anger. In this passage, good sense makes one slow to anger. Good sense is the key to not sinning in your anger. Having your passions in check, having your spiritual appetite whetted in the proper manner through God's holy word keeps you from sinning in anger. Good sense tempers the emotions and makes them useful for godliness and God, and not for godlessness. You know, I think it's probably something that should be said. We ought to be angry as Christians about the state of our society and about our culture that murders and culture that approves of all kind of wrong. They applaud darkness, they applaud the wrong things, and they condemn and criticize the right things. That should make us angry. I hope you've just seen, it's okay to be angry about righteous things. Good sense will lead us to the right kind of anger. In fact, good sense produces that kind of anger. Again, notice, good sense makes one slow to anger. The implication there, and pretty strong implication, is good sense leads us to be angry the right way. And the Lord knows there's plenty for us to be angry about. Christ's name is taken in vain at every turn. And on we could go with the reasons we should be angry. But as we mature and we become angry and we express our anger, it needs to be an anger that's not in sin. And then finally, good sense thinks the best of others. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it's his glory. That is, it's his glory, the one who has good sense, to overlook an offense. Very simply, Paul put it this way: do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. This is what he's saying. It's his glory. It's the man who gets good sense. It's his glory to overlook an offense, to think more highly of others than himself. He took my parking place. I'll show him what I think, and the hands fly. Or I'll go park and I'll meet him as he gets out of that car and tell him that was my spot. We had an excellent sermon last Sunday morning in Silva at Redeemer Presbyterian Church, Dr. Ben Shaw preaching on the Eighth Commandment. And I don't know how many times Ben said this in 35 minutes. None of it's mine. It's not ours, folks. It's his. Ben began the sermon by saying, what's the first word a child says? It's usually not mommy or daddy, it's usually mine. He's right, isn't he? And they go through life, mine. And we grow through life, it's mine. And none of it is. We're just stewards. So rather than being offended when somebody does something to us, toward us, says something about us, what does it say? Good sense overlooks it. Good sense overlooks that offense. Why? Because it thinks more highly of others than self. It understands this is not about me, and it's not about him. This is about God. This is what Jesus was saying when he said, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Think more highly of others. You know, you'd like that piece of pie? Give it to them. You know, you want that? Give it to them. You know, you want that? Help them have it. You can go to the larger catechism, read the catechism questions pertaining, and you'll see this very thing. Good sense. We're told in 1 Peter that love covers a multitude of sins. Good sense overlooks an offense, covers a multitude of sins. So in a world that lacks good sense due to sin, we're supposed to pursue good sense and make a difference for Christ, knowing that it all began with Him. Christ is all. He gives us the wisdom we have. He possesses the good sense that we're to get through our study of God's Word and prayer and the exercise and the imbibing and the means of grace that He provides for us. So let me ask you, are you pursuing it? Do you want it? Or are you happy without it? A Christian can't be happy without it. A Christian is marked by the desire for and the obtaining of and the application of good sense. And by the way, your common sense won't be as heightened, won't be as precise until good sense is combined with it. Because then you'll know who gave you the little common sense that you have. And you'll glory in Him and not in your own intelligence, your own ability. Father, we thank You for this evening and for these good reminders. Help us to go out this week with a desire to get good sense. And so then Your Word will become our primary love of the week. Our prayer for the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth will become our primary prayer. And then as we apply this good sense, our emotions, our understanding, our love and thoughtfulness for others will all increase. We pray that You'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen.